Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, July 11th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 31. We're going to read the second full paragraph, beginning with, here are some of the methods we have tried, ending with, we could increase this list at infinitum. And we're reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Kelly L. reading the text, Kara L. reading page 164, and Sherry V. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Alex K., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, July 10th, 2024, is 21,563 or 21563, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,565, 21565. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to please read the 12 steps of Jan, we can't hear you. Please hit star one.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your service, all on the line and everyone here. These are the 12 steps we took as suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jan L.
And I, will I think I forgot to read step 12. Sorry.
Oh,
number 12.
Read it.
Sorry. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Very important. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jan. Appreciate that. Don't feel bad. I didn't realize you didn't read it either. All right. I will now ask Bev M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Bev M. in Wisconsin, and thanks to everyone for their service. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 31, reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, here are some of the methods we have tried, ending with, we can increase the list at infinitum. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Kelly L. to please get us started.
Good morning, Steph. This is Kelly L. from Washington. Good morning, everybody. And here is our reading for today. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitment to asylums. We could increase the list ad infinitum and go on and on. Good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L. from Washington State. so honored to be able to be of service this morning. And there's somebody not muted, so if you could mute, that would be awesome. Wow, this paragraph, you know, I could go on ad infinitum about the methods that I have tried to battle my compulsive overeating. You know, starting really at age 10 when I would rip out pictures of skinny actresses from my teeny bop magazines and paste them on the refrigerator door. And, you know, the methods just went on and on and on until I came into program, which will be a year next Thursday. And when I listed out all the things I had tried when I first came into program, what I learned is that I had the desire to stop eating compulsively. That was never the problem. I wanted it more to take extreme measures, you know, some of them very harmful to my body and to my mental well-being and to the well-being of the people around me, to try to get this under control. But what I didn't know at the time is that it was beyond my control, that there was absolutely nothing within my own power that I could do. I didn't know this was a disease. And I understood the body addiction part of this disease, because when I cut out certain foods, I'd feel better and the cravings would stop. But I had no idea that my mind was also part of this disease, and that any method that I would come up with, you know, like they say, the mind that created the problem can't be the mind that creates the solution. You know, I didn't realize that part until I learned about OA and came into program. And, you know, all of the methods I tried, they worked until they didn't. And they were exhausting. White knuckling, you know, relapse was even worse when it was over. So, you know, those methods, those failed methods, finally broke me into a state of reasonableness. I came into program, like I said, almost a year ago, and I was for the first time in my life teachable. And I did things I didn't want to do. I thought they were terrible ideas. But when I listed my own list of ideas that I had tried, it was really easy and plain to see that any idea would be better than mine. And the biggest idea that I was reluctant to agree to was a higher power. I was pretty sure that wasn't something that I needed. In fact, I don't think I ever would have been drawn to that had it not been for this program. And, you know, being broken into this state of being teachable allowed me to find God. So have I lost 100 pounds? Yes, I have. Do I have a life beyond, you know, I could imagine? Absolutely. Relationships are improved, you know, just being part of this program. But a relationship with a higher power that I call God, that's the true miracle of this. So, you know, I look back at those methods and thank God for each and every one that I tried and failed miserably, because it got me where I needed to be. And I will stop with that. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you so much for getting us started, Kelly. That was great. So we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any of the vision meetings, please allow us the opportunity, or please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. And what we're going to do is get our first lineup. So please give your first name, last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Veronica B.
Hi,
Sherry V.
Veronica.
Pearl R.
I've got you, Sherry V. I've got you, Pearl R.
Eileen.
I've got you, Eileen M.
Deb E. and Israel.
I got you, Deb E.
Can you mention the page number again?
Sure. We're on page 31, second full paragraph, beginning with, here are some of the methods we have tried, ending with, we could increase the list at infinitum.
Laura W.
I've got you, Laura W. All right. We'll go with this list. I've got Veronica B., Sherry Z., Pearl R., Eileen M., Deb E., Laura W. Please let us know where you're calling from. And Veronica, you're up first, followed by Sherry Z.
Hey, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thank you for your service. And I want to thank the lead, Open Share. This paragraph, this chapter, more about alcoholism, chapter 3, is all about the mental obsession. And I like that the opening share mentioned a lot about the mind. And for me, my disease, I tried all of these methods, you know. Every method in here I tried with food, with mostly with eating and throwing up. And I did that behavior for 15 years. And then when I came into OA in 09, I had to learn how to eat all over again. This is why I needed a food plan. I needed to weigh and measure my food. But everything was centered around my thinking and really coming to accept that I have this allergy of the body and accept that I wasn't turning my life and my will over to God. And it was hard in the beginning. It was very hard. But once I put down the food, like I didn't have the cravings anymore. So I had to get this relationship with God that I rely totally, completely, 100%. And every day I have to practice trusting and relying on this higher power of mine, which I call God. And there's days where I don't rely on him. And I think that an extra serving of food is the answer. And that's never the answer, because it just, that starts like a downward spiral for me. It, you know, keeps me out of the freedom. And it all lies in my mind. So the solution is to have a relationship with God and to stay connected with God every single day. And there's a lot of things I have to do that. I have to, you know, just stay in the middle of Orbeez Anonymous, stay current with the sponsor, stay current with my prayer and meditation. I have to live an honest life. And I have to be kind to others, because it really shows up on my plate when I'm like mean and grumpy. You know, it's all a ripple effect. If I'm not connected to God, it shows up in my life, in my relationship. So, but it starts in my mind. So I'm really grateful for this program. With that, I pass.
Oh, perfect timing. Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we have Sherry Z., followed by Pearl R., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sherry, recovered in Malibu, and if you hear the waves crashing, it's because we're literally on the beach with my dog. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just want to first thank all the people that do service and also the speaker today. She was so articulate and incredible and inspirational. So for 30 plus years, I skipped over this paragraph. It said all these things that the alcoholic had done, and I hadn't done them. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't do those things. And it was in recovery or in OA. And then I started to work with a vision sponsor. And the question she asked me was, how free do you want to be? But the second question she asked me was, how do you identify in? And so we got to this paragraph. I was like, yeah, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not an alcoholic. And she's like, now you're going to list all the methods that you've tried, everything that you've tried to maintain, control your weight. And I started just writing and seeing just so many similarities. And I started identifying totally with this paragraph in a way that I had never underlined, I had never noticed it, nothing. But I started to notice every single thing that I had tried and identify them and say them out loud. And just that honesty of, oh my God, I did this and I did this. And then I read them to her. And when she listened to them, and every time I do it with my sponsees, they read me theirs. And what's fascinating is I'm always discovering more. Like, I so identify in. So it's the opposite of what I think. And so when the speaker said today, you know, a sick mind can't cure a sick mind, that's how sick my mind was. It was like, no, I have nothing to do with this paragraph. Only Discover has everything to do with this paragraph. So I'm so grateful to be here, to be with people that can say to me, hey, I've done that too, but also you belong here and let me show you how. So every sponsee has shown me even more so why this paragraph means something to me, and I couldn't be more grateful. So thank you very much. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Next, we have Pearl R, followed by Eileen M. And Pearl, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Pearl from Arizona. This mind illness is so subtle and so sneaky and cunning that it had me for decades basically running around in circles and distracting me from the solution. There's no cure. You know, a doctor cannot cure you. They can give you a Band-Aid. They can clean you up. They can, you know, help you, but they cannot cure you. And this disease and illness has no cure to it. There's only a solution. And the only solution is to completely 100% admit that I'm powerless. I am always at step one, always, every single day, all day long. And if I'm not at step one, then I'm running the show. Then I'm trying to cure a disease which is never going to be cured. It can only be arrested. It can only be done by the grace of God. That's all. There's no me figuring out how I'm going to eat, you know, eat my cake and, you know, and be thin at the same time. That's never going to exist. It's not. It's all a big falsehood. It's all a big delusion and illusion, and it's like a mirage when I'm out and I'm dying of thirst and I think I see something. It's not going to happen. So I must be at step one. I'm working with my sponsor, who is absolutely amazing, and she's really helping me dive into the step work, and I'm seeing things that I've never seen before. And one thing I see for sure over and over again is that I have to be powerless. I have to surrender. I have to wave the white flag. Because any time that I think that I can somehow figure this out, doing millions of different insane things that don't even waste time, money, effort, just a complete waste of life, all I have to do is surrender. I have to just go to my knees and say, I cannot do this. I can't figure this out. I don't have the answers. I have to let you do it. I have to let a power greater than myself do it. I have to let God do it. I have to let him. But he's not going to do it unless I let him. And he's not going to sit there and shove it down my throat and force me to, you know, he's not going to tie up my hands and sew my mouth shut. I have to be willing and let him. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Pearl R. from Arizona. Next up, we've got Eileen M., followed by Deb E., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. I love this paragraph because it sounds like, you know, it's like saying self-knowledge is going to fix this, and all I have to do is X, Y, and Z, and I'll try this, and I'll try that, and I'll fix it. And I was like that for a long time, and, you know, I tried methods in and out of OA. I have been in OA 35 years. I've been recovered for 8 years, and that is a miracle because, you know, I had no idea how to, you know, stay stopped. You know, and because I didn't know the way out, I thought that, you know, I could come up with all these methods. And one of my methods was restricting. I got very good at restricting. And my other most popular method was not having it in the house. And I mean, the reality is that food is everywhere. And, you know, other people that I worked with would bring food to work and, you know, they'd put it out on the table and they'd ruin it for me. And I blame them for my inability to stop. You know, all those solutions that I came up with, that was not sound thinking. You know, that was all self-reliance. And, you know, we know that self-reliance doesn't work. I found that out. And, you know, the only thing that works is, you know, the freedom from food obsession comes from the spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, and it comes from the maintenance of the spiritual condition. And I'm so grateful I learned this because, you know, my old beliefs were if I just have the right circumstances in my life, I will be able to stay stopped. And, you know, we know that's not true. So I'm very grateful that I found a vision for you. So thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next up is Deb E., followed by Laura W., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I'm just looking at this paragraph, and, like, I can substitute, like, every part of it. It's like drinking beer only, you know, not eating any sugar, limiting the number of drinks, restricting my calories, never drinking alone, never like showing anyone what I was binging on, never drinking in the morning, restricting all day and only binging at night, drinking only at home, you know, nobody ever saw me binge, never having it in the house, that one works both ways, never drinking during business hours. I mean, it just goes on. And I, to me, this paragraph shows like the insanity of the compulsive eater, the insanity I went through and going like, okay, then I'll try this. I don't know. Okay, now I'll try this. And I'll try this. Like everything is just like, it's the same as running from the emotions. It's like everything I could think of under the sun to try except for the solution, which was this program. And in all fairness, I didn't know about this program. And as soon as I found out about it, I did try it. But it was just this like, this running from one thing to the other, this like kind of being in a state of like panic and just like kind of constant craziness, like, no, this is going to work, this is going to work, this is going to work. And nothing worked, you know, nothing except for the solution offered in this program, which is living a spiritual life and being connected to a power that's greater than me. That really like just, it took all the panic and the craziness out. You know, I thought I was just going crazy before I found OA. I was like, I was just spinning and spinning and spinning. And I only found calmness. You know, people often refer to me and like they say like how calm I am. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you only knew like what an anxious person I am and how anxious I was as a child. Could never like take a deep breath. And I'm still that anxious person. It's just that I have all these tools to use, so it doesn't show up. It still shows up. I shouldn't say it doesn't show up. It shows up, and then I have a way to handle it. You know, I can turn it over to my higher power. I can talk to a fellow. I can use prayer. There's so many things that I can use to calm me down and then not have to go run like a crazy person looking for every different solution. I have a plan, I have a system, and it works, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, that was perfect timing, Deb E. from Israel. Thank you so much. And next we've got Laura W., and after Laura, get ready because we're going to take another lineup. And Laura, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Laura W. I'm calling from Chicago. I am a compulsive overeater. And this reading, I remember having a sponsor ask me to write down all the different diets that I had done. I told her what a professional dieter I was. And so I made a list, and I went through all the diets I had ever done from the time I was in junior high up through and including OA. And it is amazing, and it is such a identifying in process, because when I consider all the different diets I did, I realized that they all worked. They all worked, and yet I was not recovered. I was crazy, and I couldn't maintain them, because for me, it was it's very, very much an issue of the mind. And so when I really got a good sponsor who had me write down all my diets, and first, before even doing that, though, identify my alcoholic foods. And truly alcoholic foods, for me, I have to put down. Now, in the last couple of years since COVID, I've been struggling. One of the biggest reasons I struggled is a desire to take back some of my alcoholic foods to try and be in control. But I have not gone on a diet. The peace of mind in knowing that I am trying to follow my food plan, I've been trying to have more say in the foods, and I need to surrender that. Also, a little more say in what my program is, my action plan, and those are issues for me. I need to surrender that and let people that I trust give me advice. Those are things I've gotten in this program, and the most important thing is to put down my alcoholic foods, to work the steps, to develop that relationship with a higher power that can help me, and really believe in that. And that has been so helpful. And I've had some really good abstinence in the last few months. It hasn't been continuous, but we're getting there. And I have a great sponsor who's working with me. And as I get, as I feel this abstinence coming and this recovery, I feel like I really believe in it. And it's such freedom. So I'm so grateful to this program. For the first time in my life, I'm not on
Laura, that's time.
Quote diet. And for that, I am so grateful. And I pass. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Laura W. from Chicago. And we're going to get another lineup. And if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday at any of Vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And let me remind you all where we are at. We're on page 31, the second full paragraph, beginning with, here are some of the methods we have tried. Ending with, we could increase the list at infinitum. We read that paragraph, and we're commenting on that paragraph this morning. And please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
I've got you, Wendy M.
Nicole C., Washington State.
I've got you, Nicole C.
Annabelle V., Washington State.
Annabelle, got you. You could probably take... Okay, we'll go with these three and see what timing allows for. So I've got Wendy M., Nicole C., Annabelle V. Wendy, you're up first, followed by Nicole C.
Yeah, hi, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Stephanie, thank you for your service, as always. What I absolutely adore about this chapter and about this paragraph is it reminds me, if I'm awake, that I've been lying this whole time, right? Because the only way to get seeking missile, the only way to get a hit, right, is to lie. I have to bend the truth. It's a must. But, you know, really what's restored the sanity in this program is this idea that we become aware that we're lying. You see, before I just scrambled, right? This is major scrambling. And it says, here are some of the methods we've tried. And I wrote the word lied. I'm a liar and I need to be fired, right? I need to hire God and fire Wendy, right? Because my thinking, which is what this whole chapter is about, is completely distorted. And again, it's in my voice, so it sounds right. It sounds like a great idea. Because what's happening here is we're scrambling, right? We're like, okay, what makes sense? You know, organic food, that'll do the trick. Or I remember a doctor said to me, I think it's a good idea for you to eat some protein bars. I think that will help. And I knew, I had that like lurking notion that that wasn't a good idea, but I didn't care because the doctor told me it was okay. That's all I cared about. I couldn't get to the grocery store fast enough, and I couldn't shove those bars into my mouth fast enough, and calling myself abstinent. I literally do a shtick, a stand-up OA comedy thing, where it's like, what can I do? How can I commit murder and still get away with it? You know, how can I eat these foods or have these behaviors and still get away with it? You know, it's unbelievable. Other things, I mean, sure, we've all tried these things, right? Liquid diets, that'll do the trick. I mean, it's all in an effort to control. Like, how can I control and enjoy this thing? You know, another one, I was at a, I don't know, Thanksgiving party, and I'm doing the dishes, of course, because all the food is in that room. And I'm eating the apples from the apple pie, and I'm calling it my fruit for the night, right? Like, it doesn't matter. We will do anything. I will do anything to convince myself I'm good to go. One of the other things I talk about in my shtick is I order a margarita, and I'm abstinent. I order, I don't know, what are those drinks with vegetables in it? Anyways, the ones with the tomato sauce, I can't think of the name. And so I order that, and my friend says, that's not abstinent. I'm like, it's my vegetables. I mean, really, we are extreme. We have to get away with murder and still call it abstinent. So try to control and enjoy, you know. And so what's beautiful about this paragraph is this is the way we think, right? And if you identify in, that's the best news of all. That's where the freedom comes, when we can identify the methods, i.e. lying. That's when the freedom comes. If we can't see that this is us, then, you know, we're in trouble. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up, Nicole C., followed by Annabelle Z.
Hi there. This is Nicole C. in Washington State. Thank you so much for everyone doing service. And that includes shared. I really appreciated all of the shares, and I identify with the reading, with everything that's been said. And I have never had a problem identifying in with this paragraph, because when I first came into the rooms, right before I came in, my last ditch effort, and I had tried so many things, so many diets, so many ways of managing and controlling my, trying to manage and control myself. And my last ditch effort was right before I came in, I was keeping a journal of everything I ate and drank, how I felt before and after, both physically and emotionally. And I found out, like in my own writing, I admitted to myself before I even came in the rooms that I was addicted to refined flour and sugar. And but I was still trying to control it. My last ditch effort was I would only eat it 3 times a month. Ha ha ha. It never worked, not once, not any of my plans. And that that term ad infinitum, it says to me that there is no end to the ways that my mind can deceive me. But the hope is in what happens when I stop relying on my own mind, on my own self, and I solely rely on the loving will of my higher power. It's miraculous and amazing. And I'm grateful to have found the steps that lead me to the spiritual awakening that gets me into that space of God reliance. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole C. from Washington. Next, we've got Annabelle Z., also from Washington.
Good morning. This is Annabelle Z. Thank you, Steph, in Washington State. And I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. Interestingly, so I have been in the drink beverage program, and I often didn't relate to this paragraph in as an alcoholic because I there's just a lot I hadn't done. I got sober so young. And so when I came to OA, I kind of also sort of skipped through that, but I did look at, you know, all the different, you know, the diets I did and things like that. What it really occurred to me, though, this last run through the steps here, and I'm on step 9 right now, is my addiction is seemingly, it's nothing to do with alcohol. It's really not to do with food. It's really an addiction to controlling. And so I find it very interesting how, you know, this is all about our efforts to control. And I'm going, I try to control whether, you know, alcoholic foods are in my body or not. And so looking at this, you know, going through the steps and seeing how much I want to control how much you notice that I control, or like, you know, try to make you not notice that I control while I'm controlling you, manipulating you. And someone just mentioned it's a disease, you know, we lie so much. And my manipulative behavior into making you think one way about pathological level. I mean, but that's our thing, right? It is a disease. I heard something else really good that was said this morning is, and I hear it all the time, of course, you know, that there's a God, you know, I'm not it. And I think I let him. And someone said, you know, God is willing to save me from that next compulsive bite, but I have to let him. And so often I let the food be the solution. You know, my problem is my lack of power, but the solution is that there is a power. I have to let him. So it takes a little more time than that compulsive bite, you know, takes to soothe, except that it doesn't soothe, right? And so I wait, and now the soothing comes in just the volume, the depth, the beauty of how soothing God is compared to that deceitful, you know, compulsive bite. So I'm just really grateful to be on the line this morning, and I thank you for my abstinence, and thank you, Steph, for your service, and everyone else, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Annabelle Z. We have time for probably a couple more. Who would like to share on that paragraph on page 31? Please let me know your first name and last initial and where you're calling from.
Margaret G., Georgia.
I've got you, Margaret.
It's Barbara S. in Maine.
Was that Barbara S.?
Right.
Okay, got you. So we'll have Margaret D. followed by Barbara S. And Margaret, you're up.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name is Margaret, and I'm in Georgia. And I just wanted to, what do I want to do? I just want to share my experience about, and my strength and my hope, about this trying other methods. I got into program in around 1987, maybe even a little bit earlier than that, I don't know. But it strikes me as I'm listening to everybody that the methods that I've tried wasn't so much that I tried other methods, it was that the methods that I tried were always guaranteed to make me worse off than I was before. And I never recognized that. Never, ever. One of the biggest things that I tried for 25 years was smoking. And I can guarantee you that that has left me, I mean, the consequences of smoking for 25 years with the set of genes that I inherited has definitely left me much worse off than if I had never smoked. So I got cancer, and that's been dealt with. And I still have to, you know, do certain things. But some of the other ways were the different products that you could get from legally and illegally. When I was 12, I was on speed. You could go down to the to one of the doctor's offices and buy these magic diet pills for $1 a piece, which I did with my babysitting money. I didn't know it was speed, but I guarantee you that left me definitely in a much worse place. And just, I mean, there are so many other things I tried that were destined to kill me if I continued on with them. And so I guess my strength comes from knowing that my higher power will never pick out a solution for me that's harmful. And if that doesn't show where I'm crazy, that I continue to want to go to solutions that are destined to kill me, you know, I don't know why it seems now like such a simple choice. Do I want to live or do I want to die? But when I side with the disease, I opt for death. And to me, you know, realizing now what I know about my higher power, that's insanity.
Time.
And guess what? I'm done. With that, I'm done.
Well, thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. And Barbara S., you've got about a minute and a half.
Perfect. Hey, this is Barbara S. I'm in Maine. This paragraph to me is just like a little slap in the face from my higher power, reminding me of my insanity. Listening to the shares and thinking about the crazy ass insane stuff that I've done over many decades to try to manage what I thought was a weight problem, I just had no idea that it was insanity. It was mental insanity. It was that queer mental twist that my mind kept doing to me to convince me to go back to the food as a solution, even many, many years after it stopped working for me. After childhood, essentially, it stopped working for me as a solution to my problems. And I'm just really, really grateful to get this message finally in my senior years so that I can have a little shot at sanity each day as I remember my powerlessness. And grateful to you all for your service. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Barbara S. Thank you so much. And we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kara L., can you please read a vision for you?
Good morning.
Kara, can you?
This is Kara L. I'm here. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.